So, I must say. So it's been a fast and furious intensive so far. And that's really just because I wanted to get a lot into this time that we have together and the course that the recordings will be available to watch again and again to absorb whatever you need to take out of them. Just a quick reminder before we go into the satsang portion, not to try too hard, not to work too hard, and to remember where you're coming from, who you already are in that as best you can. So we have some time for Q&A for satsang. So if anybody has anything that they want to, this session is an hour. So we'll see how many hands go up. I'd invite you to raise your hand if you want to ask anything about anything we've been through today, and or any issues that you've got going on in general. Now is the time to put your hand up. I seem to have lost the ability to speak, put a sentence together, but hopefully that will disappear. Hopefully. So, Maggie, are you ready? Maggie is here in the room with me, so come and sit in the. Here we
Kind of a two-parter. I'll do the second part first, which is totally logical, obviously. You said at some point today that you get to the point where you realize that any issues you have with that person or that thing just aren't, you know them not to be true, so there's no resolving. Well, when I kind of explain, there was something that came up last night, and it was a I'll just add, I have got Ian's permission to talk about this. It was a deep-rooted pattern that we have, and it brought up a lot of emotions, especially I'm going from my perspective for me. And when you said that about the nothing to do, I know that, and there was still a, ooh, there still needs to be something done in this area. So that's my second part of the question. The first part of the question is really about statements, because we started saying some statements. It was very late and we were just dropping to sleep, so we decided to do some statements.
Can we do that bit first?
Yeah,
Can we do that
absolutely.
first bit first?
Yeah.
So just remind me that second, that first, well, the second
Exactly,
bit,
sorry.
that
It doesn't really matter which way around. It was
when I
that.
say there's nothing to do or go to the place where the problem doesn't exist, that brings up.
There was a little bit of, I can get to that, but then there seems to be there's still a practical change to make. So there was a little bit of, when you said it, there was a little bit of resistance, and I was like, oh, I want this to be different, you know,
Yeah.
so.
So understanding then what the best thing to do in that issue is,
Yeah.
and the way that we want to resolve it is going to change in that.
Yeah.
So there's a sense that there really is an issue here that I really need to fix. Yeah.
Yeah, when you said it was because it's a repeated pattern. So I thought, well, if we don't, if I am, I'm doing the inner work very much so. Like I said, we did the statements, and it's something that I've been contemplating on, etc. But there's still a, because it's coming back up, more to look at, more to do within, but there's still a, is there
Yeah.
something to do out there type thing?
Well, the out there doing, what the bodies involved end up doing, is going to be dependent upon what energy field you're coming from around it.
Yeah.
And without being too blunt, has what you've been trying to do from the energy field that you were in when it happens actually done anything to resolve it?
It's one of those yes and no's as well. Yeah, things have changed in that area. And there was the feeling that, well, this has come up to help it be resolved more.
Has this been resolved by action? Or perhaps clearer stated, has the actions that you have done up until this point created a lasting and permanent healing of this pattern?
I would say that the inner work has enabled the discussion and outer work, because it's
so the inner work first,
absolutely,
and then the actions change, the communication changes. So what is the inner work then that's going to be most effective at creating a lasting and permanent change here around this?
Just not just, but looking further and looking in contemplation. Well,
can it be the sense that there's something I need to do about this? Can that produce a lasting and permanent healing?
No.
So can you see that where there's been a persistent pattern between any two beings for any length of time, the first thing we're going to try to, the first go-to thing around anything is going to be, what can I do about this?
Yeah.
And that moves from what can my body physically do about it to what can I do about the emotions? And then what can I do spiritually around this?
Yeah, definitely.
What is the practice? So now we can move that question maybe when it comes up to, mine's always going to say that, isn't it? What do I do about this? We can actually maybe replace that. What can I be about this? How does that feel?
Yeah, feels okay.
I be that place where actions are just going to spring forth spontaneously from the body?
What actually happened was that there was a lot of emotion, especially for me. And I just went deeply into a very deep, deep peace in with all the emotions. And, you know, I've talked on other events recently and it just happened.
So there you were being.
Yeah.
You were definitely being something about it rather than doing something about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the action still happened.
Yeah.
But they were coming from a different energy field.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. So what was the first bit?
It was just to say that when we were trying to do statements and it was very late at night, the light was off, so we weren't writing, we were just talking then. And I started, and because I was the one who, I don't want to say I was more upset, but, you know, I started, Ian suggested it, and I did the first statement, and then I don't know whether it was his second or his fourth, that just didn't hit right with me, it didn't sit right, and it was like, what to do in that moment where, you know, we're trying to work this together, and a statement, and it was only a little bit more for me, but I said, that doesn't feel true within here for me. And it was just where to go with that.
So there's two or more of you, somebody at some point is going to say some statement that doesn't feel better for you.
Yeah.
It felt better for that person, but not for you.
Mm.
So when you recognize that, then you can take that feeling, like, I don't really believe, we had it with Sergio when we were doing the one-on-one statements.
Yeah.
I said something that he couldn't fully believe and felt made him feel a little worse.
Mm.
So just noticing how that statement feels in your body and then saying something that feels better than that. Right. So always the same two rules. However I feel in any particular moment about the last statement, I've got to find something that feels a little bit better and true. So this is why it works more powerfully with the group, because people are more likely to point out, poke at, say something that shows you where you don't quite feel convinced.
So when that statement was said and it didn't feel true to me, it's kind of still taking a step up from there.
Yes, because that vibration was inside you. You just might not have recognized. It took an external voice, in this case Ian, to voice it.
Right.
But you could feel by the response in the body that you didn't fully believe what was said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still something that's inside you, even though an other being said it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit confused.
That's okay.
By that. Because, you know, when I've done one-to-one statements, I've gone to write a statement and think, oh, that doesn't feel true. So I've left that statement and found one a little bit less that would still feel true.
So it's just changing it slightly how we do it with a group.
Right, okay.
There's still only one being, but different body-mind vehicles are in a different place around different subjects vibrationally.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of those body-mind vehicles might say something that doesn't feel as good as your previous statement.
Right.
But it is still you, so the same, because it's all you.
Yeah.
So the same principle applies. All right, then we start from that feeling now.
Right.
And apply.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So the the feeling that I had about the statement, which was, oh, that doesn't feel right for me, yeah. I can build on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks.
So you evolve faster when there's two or more, because other beings will show you vibrations that are inside yourself that you might not have been aware of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So somebody says, I had this big breakthrough in satsang and I had this beautiful seeing. And the next thing you feel, like, I didn't feel that. I didn't see that. We wouldn't have got to that feeling without that other being,
yes,
who is also was saying, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Thanks.
Lovely. Thank you. Good, good. Thanks. Okay. Plenty of hands up there. So Sharon, whenever you're ready.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
So I quick little story, and then I have a question. A couple of days ago, I've been living in this particular house for like the past 16 years. And I come in from the garage, and on my wall is a plate with four switches on it to turn on the lights. And I'm like, okay, I need to turn on the kitchen light. And I flip one switch and it turns on the garage light. I'm like, oh, that's the garage light. Turn it off, flip on another switch and go, oh, that's the outside light. So none of the four switches on that wall plate actually turned on my kitchen light, but it was like a brand new, oh, look at what this turns on. Now I've been here for 15 years. And then right next to the four switches was the light for the kitchen. And I'm like, well, let me turn this one on and see what happens. Yeah. Totally like, let's see what happens when I turn this.
Some light will go on somewhere, but I have no idea where, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's my kitchen light. But I thought that was really interesting, and living in the totally I don't know, but that was truly an experiential I don't know.
And was it a fun experience, or was it like,
oh, it was really, yeah. Yeah, and I was chuckling the entire time, like, and highly aware of what was kind of like happening too. Does that make sense at all?
But if you had absolutely needed to know, let's say something was happening in that room and you really needed to see, and, you know, and you needed to find the right lights, which you would have.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. And there's been many a time since then that I walked back to the kitchen and turned on my kitchen light without even thinking about
it. It's nice sometimes to be in that space of, you know, because our mind would say, you've lived here 16 years, you should know by now. And I have two light switches at the bottom of my stairs. And so sometimes I don't know which one puts the light on here or upstairs still. And I can laugh at it now because I can see that I'm coming to this for the very first time. I've never switched these switches before, ever, ever. It's all new to me in that moment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm driving a route that I've done 1,000 times and I can't remember whether to turn left or right when I get to the end of this road. And I'm just laughing because it doesn't really matter in that same way, you know, from that place.
Right, right. Yeah, and I've had that too, like just like you said, how do I get back to the back to school? Yeah. Just like you said, I've been doing it like forever.
And I just can't quite currently remember. Yeah.
But so that was a fun story. So thank you. That's like living experientially. So in the self-inquiry today, first of all, a tremendous experience. Who is this person? Came to rage and fear and hatred and all these things. And then this body mind embodied it, kind of like, oh my gosh, there's no person out there, but it's now this body mind. And then eventually it was like, oh my gosh, this person and this body mind is oneness, is God, is absolute loving. So at this vibrational level that I am right now, I can't even imagine this other person anything other than God loving me and here for love and contentment, even though 18 minutes ago, you know, this person was
very different experience. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. My fear is I walk into the lion's den on Christmas Day. So already I have like little plans, like, okay, I'm going to set a timer on my phone for every 2 hours to bring me back. And I have my little gong, but, and there's also this thought process of, well, why are you planning on going into that habit energy? And I'm not planning to go into the habit energy, but I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, all 17 other people are in that habit energy and I glom on to it.
It's quite likely, isn't it? You know, it's quite likely that everyone else will be believing their thoughts about everyone else.
Yes.
Yes.
So I would love more tips and tricks and ideas you know, even before we leave on Christmas Day, I want to do this exercise again and bring that vibrational level up. But what kind of fun, real life tips do you have for walking in, or for you know, not getting through it, but living and experience how I want to live and experience the situation?
Well, I'd say first and most important is to accept right now, if you can, that you might walk in there and forget everything and get really caught up. And then you're leaving the house and you go, oh, you know, to spend that whole, you know, on the drive home, that might happen. And does it mean anything's gone wrong? And does it have to have any meaning? So let's just get that out of the way right now. Yes, you might want to obviously have a different experience than that, and that's what the conversation is about. But if we can start from that place, it's totally okay if that happens. Yes, I'll just feel generally crappy for however long I'm there. And that's the spiritual term, by the way. I'll be in a lower vibration while I'm there, you know. But I'd rather
adding to all the gossip and hatred there.
Yeah. So if it happens, it happens. And I'm not going to blame myself for that, because I'm also still evolving and learning on the mind and body level. And then on a more sort of practical, looking at what you and this being or beings have, what the friction has been about in the past, and what are my set ideas about this. So let's say, and I dread to bring this up, but we're sitting around the Christmas dinner table and we end up talking about politics or religion or what my ideal occupation should be or something, anything like that, where there's a high probability of a difference of opinion, let's say. What do I usually get tripped up in that area? Can I look at that ahead of time? You know, and what's the button that's pushed? Am I going to feel, you know, like we spoke about with Elaine, like I might feel that I've been made to be wrong, to feel wrong, or, you know, so running through that ahead of time virtually in your mind rather than waiting to actually have the experience. And not from, I'm going to recreate this same old nonsense, but where do I usually get caught up? You see what I mean with it?
Yeah.
So this person suggests, have you put some weight on, you know, or I didn't know your hair looked like that, or whatever they say to you. I haven't seen you since you changed your hair. And it's just left hanging there. And mine starts doing its thing. Well, you know, I haven't put any weight on, or whatever we do, you know, where are you going to get caught up? It's usually the same type of places, isn't it? This person pushes this particular button over and over. And can I look at that button and see if it's true before I go? Do I have to just wait there and have the actual physical experience? And in fact, this goes across the board. We can have a look at anything, any buttons that get pushed. And you don't actually have to have the physical experience even. And it's possible to be in a place before you even walk in that room where it just does not affect you when somebody says that very same thing, as I'm sure you've experienced before.
Yeah.
Does that give you something to work with?
It does. The next 2 weeks, definitely. Because I already have these preconceived notions of what is going to trip me up or what I get hung up about, but I can definitely work on those right now.
You know, it's a work in progress for all of us, and celebrating, you know, if you get caught up a little bit and then you quick bathroom break and you just stood there in front of the mirror going, you know, you've already let this go. It's only 10 minutes and you've already let it go. And you walk back into the room in a place of peace. Can you celebrate that you didn't hold on to it for hours or days or years and stew over it and drive it home really, you know, something like that or whatever. So just those little moments when you do remember to check in, and understanding that maybe just because you've transcended this or transcending this doesn't mean they're going to change their opinions. Also, that helps. You know, they might.
That's really, really good. Mm. And that's a truism. I think this is a little aha. And you're like, of course it doesn't. But I think as I go through this, you think to yourself, I'm going to walk into a brand new situation. And you're absolutely right. I'm not going to walk, or I very possibly might do. Could not.
You might do. The conversation might be a whole different level.
Right.
Or it might not be.
And
it might, by the way, you'll be at peace.
Yes. You know? Yes. That's a really, that's a kind of a nice aha though. Like,
yeah,
I am not spiritually deviant if this person has not changed their spots.
Yeah. It's not something wrong inside me just because, you know, we're still arguing over politics or something, you know,
right.
You know, I don't have to save the world myself, actually, starting with the people around my Christmas dinner table, but that they might still be in a place where they like that friction on some level, where they like that separateness, where they like that, that they're still enjoying on some level, at least, being a separate being. And that's totally, they're allowed to have that experience. I choose to opt out of that and just kind of, here's the self showing up as this angry person, or here's the self showing up as this one that always needs to be right, or whatever is happening in that.
Yeah, thank you. So I like the exercise, but the other aha of, yeah, that's going to make a big difference, I think.
And probably somewhere in the middle of that, probably the conversation might be the same subject, but nobody gets quite as wound up over it or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank essential so Christmas skills, right? So we're all here. Lovely. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bev, when you're ready.
I actually enjoyed the statement process. It was something I think that you were saying to Sergio that kind of like shed new light on it for me. And that sometimes when you're looking, you know, do you feel better, or the goal was to raise the vibration. Sometimes there's a temptation to check in with the mind to see if it's, you know, still believing, or to see if anything has changed, or you're kind of asking your mind.
Instead am of I there feet. Yet? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yep, still believe that, you know, so yeah. It's kind of,
this isn't working.
Yeah. So I think that was very helpful. That you're not doing anything and you're not trying to convince your mind.
Yeah.
Is really been helpful. And then the other thing, what Maggie was bringing up, and you kind of were talking about, you know, working on the inside, and then instead of trying to, I guess, go directly to the issue, I think a belief that kept recurring for me was around, you know, fairness and can't get what I want and that kind of energy. And it's been like a cyclical thing that's been, it's like there's an, it's upping the ante, like the thing is getting bigger and bigger, like now you're going to do something, like now you're going to do something, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's like, but it's.
Mine says, when is all this spiritual practice going to actually result in action? Right? When are you going to do something?
Yeah. Right. So there's been the perpetuation of it really has been, I think, around the belief and the, but there's also been this energy of, where there may be a logical reason to do something, but I'm also feeling that there's definitely the need to look at the belief. And the more I look at the belief, the less I feel I need to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still, you know, checking in with, is there anything that needs to be done? But I'm continuing to really, I think, what was it you said to Maggie? What can I be about this? Not what can I do about it, but how can I be, you know,
really
kind of standing in that energy and then seeing, is there anything that needs to be done, you know, after that? So that was really good too. So thank you.
And the body will do that, right? If there's something that logically seems to make sense from the mind's perspective, it makes sense I go do this action. It doesn't necessarily preclude that happening. Is just that from the place of the self, it will be obvious this is the right thing to do here now in that, you know, rather than trying to figure it out, it will just be obvious this is the next step for me to take. But not because I sweated my way through this decision. It was just like, oh yeah, this is what happens next here, some sort of sense like that.
Or not because I'm angry or indignant or what, you know, wherever that comes from, where there's a there's more helplessness in that energy than
I'm going to get the results on that energy level from that action, whereas I do that from the place of this is just the next thing to do here, the right thing now, and it feels clearer and more obvious somehow that that's right. I'm going to get very different results from that action anyway. And you might even know even now that that is the right action to do, but maybe it's not the right time to do it because there might still be a little anger there or something that would just dilute the results of it, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, I try to sit with something until I only feel good about it. And then if I get to a place where I only feel good about it, then it will happen some way in that way. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And those insights and epiphanies that you were talking about with the statement process or trying to figure something out with the mind, it might just come spontaneously anyway. You know, like we were saying with Maggie as well, that you might come to a point where in a statement process, the only goal is to feel better, but you might become aware of the fact that you don't really feel convinced around some, you know, there's still some little bit of belief around some belief, you know, some agreement with some belief inside. So that will probably both will happen in that. This is, you keep it simple. We're only trying to feel better, and that will do everything else anyway. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you for that. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Caroline?
Yeah, hi. It's just a little bit of feedback about what happened earlier on today, really, in this. When Amy was talking and you were doing self-inquiry, I followed it along. And I was amazed, really. I wanted to know what my asthma was. What is asthma?
Oh, now I'm excited.
Yay. What is it? I really wanted to know. I love this delving in with mm-hmm. no control, not having a clue what's going to happen. And what happened was, mine said, you talk too much, so it's the appearance, it's God trying to shut you up.
It had a lot just of opinions.
Having a bit of a laugh about it. But the next one that came, it went deeper, and it came to a feeling of suffocation.
Mm.
And on that note, I went very quiet about it. And then it just started slotting in, really, about, you said something to me last week about it being safe to be who I am.
Yeah.
And it didn't really do anything for me at the time, Helen, but today it was like just the penny drop. It was like the suffocating, the feeling like I can't express myself authentically. Authenticity is always coming up for me. It came up for me the first time I came on this morning.
This is what it's all about, isn't it? Authenticity. Yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah. And that was that's how it started today. Was, I'm gonna have to talk to Helen about this authentic thing because it keeps coming up. But then with Amy, when I followed it and I got the suffocation and I got this, is it really? Because it gets me in a lot of trouble being who I really am. It appears to.
Yeah.
You know,
and you've had that experience
that experience, and I think I believe it.
Yeah,
and I think, and that was the answer. And I think it's quite a revelation that probably could be what all the breathlessness is, the itching, the headaches, the whole lot of it.
Yeah,
might be my belief in that I can't be authentic. So I just like to feed that back.
Yeah. And you know, in truth, do we actually know what we're like without these beliefs? Have we actually ever been authentic? So how would we actually know if it's mm-hmm. safe to be me or not? And I had to get really honest about that I don't know what I'm like, or, you know, before, I don't know what I'm like without this belief in the way, this safety thing. So can I really rely on that assumption now that it's not safe?
Yeah.
This here is this thing called asthma that is technically a condition that the body experiences. And now you're seeing the deeper aspects. It's not just that. It is also these beliefs, is this physical feeling, is these emotions. It's all the experiences that led up to this point of questioning also, isn't it, in that?
Yeah. Sometimes the feedback I get about myself quite shocks me. And I think that's...
Because it's not what you feel, not what you
agree.
It's
not what I feel I am. So the feedback is that I'm a very direct, blunt person and I say things people think. So I'm always left feeling, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said that.
Because it's not a good idea to be you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that, yeah. Literally playing out. People are telling you, it's not a good idea to be you.
Yeah.
But have you ever been you, actually, really?
I don't know who I am, Helen, I really don't know who I am. I've seen that quite clearly.
And now you know clearer who you're not. You're not this belief. So, mm-hmm. you know, and therefore the experience with the asthma can begin to change, right? This, do I need to, and I'm not saying you're doing this on purpose, of course, it's unconsciously, but do I need to suffocate myself, stop myself from expressing myself just in case somehow? Do I need to manifest a situation where I have to take a day off work so that people don't see too much of me because I might get in trouble? I might put my foot in it or something. Yeah.
It's like sometimes I create these things and then I'm off and they have to come back to who I really am. I'm off work. I can't go because I'm ill. And then I can go back onto the meditations and follow the teachings and all that stuff.
It does. And around we go again, one more time. Yeah.
And we go around it again. So what could I ask to change that?
Well, you see that what you're suffering from really is this idea that you know who you are and that who you are, not obviously not consciously because you've seen that you are unknowable as a self, but some part of you is still convinced that you know who you are and who you are is not a good thing or a good person or not adequate for every situation or something like that. It's not appropriate for that. You might do or say or be something wrong, something like that. So what do you think you know? And, you know, because if I don't feel it's safe to be me, I must think on some level that who I am is not good enough or not safe enough to be or something like that in there. Yeah.
And sometimes it also feels that when I'm out and about in this world I've created, that I have to be something that's not really true for me.
So because who you actually are is not the right thing to be in that moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got to be something else that everyone else will like.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. And
it's like suffocating now, my own expression, my own freedom, isn't it? Very literally here.
Yeah. And I'm all red. Like, I feel like I've been exposed, like I've talked about the worst thing I could talk about, which is great.
You did it.
I'm all for it. I think it's brilliant.
And just to, you know, what do I think I know? And is that true? But just to remember, also help me to remember that nobody else, especially those people that have criticized me or judged me or said those things that you've said about you're too blunt or something, I've forgotten the exact words, but they don't know you either. They only can mirror back your own beliefs about yourself. They've never met you either, right? They're just showing you what you think about yourself, and they don't have an informed opinion on you because they've never met you. They've only met your beliefs about yourself. And this goes for everyone, not just you, but...
It's all done in a loving way. They think I'm hilarious, really funny, because I say the things I say. It's not in a negative way, but it does left me feeling like... Oh,
it does sting. It stings.
It stings. It
reinforces this idea that you need to change yourself somehow.
Yeah. And
so they don't know you. They don't know you. You don't know Helen.
No. It's massive. It is.
And here, right now, you are being authentic, aren't you?
Yeah.
Embarrassed, afraid to say this, embarrassed, flushing red. Here I am. I'm just doing it anyway. If you look back at my whole YouTube career, is that right? I'm just going to do it anyway, right? Because, you know, I might not be correct about myself.
Yeah, it's so liberating. And I just want to be grateful for you again. You know, I feel as though my body's had a massage, my mental...
I'm just that good, right?
I've had a clear out. You are.
It's all included in the price of the intensive. Don't worry.
The mental stuff's cleared out. Emotionally, I feel quite stable. Good. It's brilliant. I love you a bit, Helen.
Thank you. I love you too. Just being aware of what you think you know. And it'll be about yourself. It'll be about other beings. It'll be about awakening, you know. And just, is that still true? Do I really want to hold on to that? And here's one that's just disappearing right now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's liberating. I feel like so free. I can breathe. You know?
Just keeping on looking at this. If it's shown up in the body, you might just need to keep looking at this a little bit until it's fully.
I'm sure I will.
And if not, life will nudge you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It'll come back. Yeah. Thank you, Helen. Wonderful, thank you, everybody. Wonderful.
Thank you. Okay, Amy. So we'll take Amy, Marcy, and Elaine, and then we'll be up to time then.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Yeah, lots of love to Caroline. I'm very happy for her.
It's awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, really, because you keep repeating things and pushing us deeper. And
I'm annoying like that, aren't I?
And, you know, it's sometimes it's things we've done before, but it's your conviction to keep us going and going deeper that is really just crashes us through barriers, you know. And I'm starting to see there's been a lot of hard-headedness around the finances and this relationship and stuff, and it's really starting to shift, and I can see the little shifts that what's coming, you know.
So really good. That's really good. And really where we've been suffering is where we've had some very set ways of looking at things, and we hold on to those because we keep experiencing it, and around it goes, you know. So when we start to really recognize that I must really know a lot of things about this subject, I must be really holding on to something here that I can now release without any judgment. And that's why I keep having this same old experience over and over again. Then we're starting to break out of it already, aren't we? Just to see, like we were just saying with Caroline, you know.
The finances have been so stuck. I mean, it's been, you know, just feeling totally powerless, and there's been so many just feelings of, you know, just very and it's been all tied up with self-worth and position in the family, and like it's such a deep one, and you know, it's just been
your finances are being used as evidence to agree with the fact that you're not good enough. And believe me, I've been there. You know, if I was good enough or awake enough, I would have resolved this by now.
Mm.
And we're so sure of that. We won't budge from it for so long. What if that is not true? What if I'm experiencing that thought over and over again? We're all doing it somewhere in our life, aren't we? Some karmic pattern. If this was gone already, then I'd be worthy, and not until then, says mind.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, it's really waking me up, because to the working of the mind, because this one has been so deep and stuck for so long, and the fact that it can shift is kind of, you know, it is just being used to actually go deeper into that.
It won't totally go away until you admit, with a deep knowing, that you are already good enough, even with a dodgy bank account. And I am talking from experience. There's no way to resolve it until we admit the truth about ourselves first.
Mm.
And then the abundance of truth here in love reflects as abundance, you know, in our bank account, or whichever, in love, in our relationships, or whatever way it's showing up for each of us.
Yeah, there's been some deep fears worked through, and that feeling of inadequacy, and that
and you know,
and then there's like,
where is it ever written that Buddha never had any financial issues after he woke up? Or, you know, I mean, reading some old teachings, and you know, sometimes people with ashrams, and they had real challenges getting the finances together, you know, to keep the ashram going and things like that, this, that. And we all have this idea that it's just plain sailing, that's the sign of the awakened state manifesting. But actually, authenticity first. Let me admit actually what I already am first, despite what's still going on in my experience, and only then can it correct itself.
Yeah, and that it's okay, and there's you know,
you might be working on stuff for a while. Are you going to keep using that as evidence that you're not good enough?
Yeah and it's you know, I've been in the face of like challenge, there's now just a kind of relaxation and enjoyment where it's been so painful, and
instead of it being
manifestation showing up, and so
instead of it being evidence of my not being awake enough, it's now, oh, here's where I'm about to expand.
Yeah.
And it's totally different.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate the feedback. Yeah. Thank you
so much, and thanks to all the team and everybody sharing. It's beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you. Marcy, when you're ready.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear?
I can.
Hi. I've been doing more contemplation since our breakthrough session, and so that I'm really grateful for. However,
and
well, there are so many things that everybody just said. It's just mind blowing. I got to hear this again. It was amazing. I don't feel shifts happening that people feel in like 2 seconds. You know, they're feeling things shifting, and I don't feel shifting. I feel like stuck. Amy just said the word stuck, and then I got so much from the last conversations. Just been so powerful.
Where are you trying to get to?
Yeah, I feel like I want something to resolve. Okay, so then I say, I'm fine when I just be. You know, you just said just be instead of do, because all this do, this do. You know, I just
get, what can you be about this? Are you a work in progress?
When I just drop thoughts, I just drop the past. I just drop the present and the future, and I just rest, and it's just relief.
So here's what you think you know that's hurting you, and that is that you're not getting anywhere. Keep experiencing that.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to ask you, why do I feel like unworthiness? What is underlying this? Because I feel like I can't get what I want. I feel that there's
anger coming up.
What would that look like
when you get where you want to be? What would it look like?
This relief of this, not this anger all the time, just so much anger. I talk with Susan, and just there's so much. I speak louder so that she can hear me, because she's getting deafer all the time. So I speak very loudly. So she speaks loudly, and we up the ante, and we just end up
yelling at each other.
It doesn't make sense. I just said to her, you know, the other day, I said, look, I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to speak up so that you can hear me. And she's misinterpreting it.
So it's like, okay,
this is just getting to be an angry, you know, mess.
Does this experience that you're having have to go before you admit that you're already the self?
No.
And can it ever go before you admit that there's nowhere for you to get to?
So all the struggle with the contemplation, what's this about? Is it just this
trying
doing?
To get somewhere? I'm trying to get to some imaginary.
Where I'm already here, right?
Yeah, and we somehow know that contemplation, awakening, all that stuff is going to resolve this outer circumstance, but only because we stop trying to get anywhere.
Yes.
Stop using your experience as evidence that you're not there yet.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I mean,
stop using any experience as evidence.
Drop the whole thing. Just drop the whole thing and just rest in the self.
Can you do that? Can you do that?
I love it. It's my favorite place to be. I just feel like Susan says to me, you're working so hard. I don't want to do this. I said, can you, you know, you want to be on the course? She says, no, it's too hard. Because she sees me struggling.
Can you just drop it and be the self? And then when you pick up some anger, drop it again.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
The anger is a sense that I'm trying to get somewhere and I don't feel I can get there.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that's true. And you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there because you're already that.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Can you see that impossible?
It is such a relief because I've been doing this since I met you. Like beating this drum, the same drum. I'm saying, well,
and I keep beating the same drum here.
This has got to resolve because, and guess what? I have psoriasis on my scalp for like 30 years. Okay. I'm itching. All right. This is what it is. I'm itching to be free. I am itching to be.
And that is what is hurting you. This sense that something has to change.
Yeah.
In here, something has to change in here or out there before I will recognize.
Yeah.
And that idea is just causes so much suffering and all.
It is making me nuts. It really is.
When there's no experience that will validate your identity anymore, when I'm stopped, when I have stopped taking any experience and using it as evidence of anything, yes, you might like a better experience, but I'm not going to use that to beat myself around the head and do more spiritual struggling and all of that stuff anymore.
Yes. Oh my God, it's so freeing. Thank you.
Which experiences, to look at, which experiences are you still doing that with? This would be fixed if already, this would have already changed if I was awakened enough or worthy enough.
And the authenticity, you know, what Carol, everybody has said these incredible things that I just have to hear again. But
let's have a new mantra then moving forward. I am that. Mm-hmm. And I would like a more peaceful relationship.
Okay.
How about that one?
Yeah.
I am that, and I would like to feel more worthy. I am that, and I would like more money in my account or whatever. Yeah.
That is great. That is so great. Thank you for allowing me to be the vehicle for that new mantra. That's awesome. Awesome. I love it.
Oh, the shorter one. So what? So what if this is happening? So what? I don't really care. Yeah. I'd like to resolve it, but I'm not going to use it as evidence of anything.
Mm.
Yeah, the difference there in the energy. Can you see?
Yes. And just that peacefulness of resting in, instead of striving, instead of trying to attain, there's nothing to attain.
No, no wonder you're failing at trying to get there. Right?
Okay. Over and over and over. And then just when I just sit, it's so peaceful. And I say, but I got to do some contemplation now.
When contemplation, self-inquiry, meditation, all of that takes you to the same place.
Yes.
There's no more striving, is there?
Yes. No, I love it. I love it. Thank you, dear. Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. I love you.
I love you too.
So grateful for you in my life. And the whole Sangha is just.
We're pretty awesome, aren't we?
The reflection of your love.
And you.
Yeah, thank you.
And last but not least is Elaine.
This has been like a jigsaw of questions that have been put together, and it's all mine.
How strange.
You're all here just for me. Yeah.
That's how it goes, right? Yeah. It's almost like there's only one of us and we're all helping each other. That's really weird.
I thought, oh my God, yeah, that's a good one.
That's my question as well. Yeah.
Even the very particular ones like Renee and the art, it's like, how did she know that?
How does she know what's going on in my head? Yeah. Yeah.
In my life. Yeah. Anyway, I did have this. It's how can I love and take on board as part of me and accept what I don't like? Is it okay to like to dislike something and to walk away from it, especially if it's embodied in a person? Can I just walk away?
Absolutely. Just because you love everything and everyone doesn't mean you'd like everything and everyone. So in your own self, I lovingly accept this is how I'm showing up right now, my body and mind. And I would also like this thing, the edge of this thing to soften a bit, in someone else, because they're in anyone else, but you know what I mean? In a different body, mind, vehicle, I lovingly accept this is how they're showing up. However, I would like them to show up somewhere else, away from me.
Yes.
And accept them. I don't need to change them, but I also don't need to subject myself to that as well.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Out of self-respect for both of you, you're fine to have that experience, do what you need to do, but I don't necessarily need to be in the vicinity of that. So, So you're not judging or blaming anyone. You're also not taking on responsibility inside that I have to change this person, because everyone has to have their own experience. But liking something is not the same as loving, is it, in a way? We can lovingly accept what is. This is a manifestation of the divine. However, it's not one I'd rather spend time with. Yeah.
No, I think for the past week, I had somebody confronted me, somebody who I've always chosen not to be in the company of because of something. And I've been trying to search in me because I think, well, you know, what is it that I can't let go of in this confrontation? It's really been bugging me because I can't find, I mean, there was anger at being confronted, but beyond that, and I suddenly thought, well, I don't think there is anything.
Maybe anger also, not respecting what your own self is telling you in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, something like, I'm done trying to make this work.
Yes.
Or something like that. I'm just done with this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I could have walked them.
You know, we want to try and all of that, but by the time you get to this point, what you're really going to value is love and honesty and compassion and peace. And you're probably not going to want to be around someone that values friction and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Life gives us enough friction anyway to evolve without deliberately putting ourselves in that. And I had this crazy idea that I really believed that at some point in my awakening, I would get to a point where I could be around anyone and like them. But that's what unconditional love was. And life had to say, well, actually, not so much. You know, it's not really like that. It's fine to walk away from a loving place. Sometimes that's the best way to help that other being. I'm not going to do this dance with you anymore. I'm done. I mean, you don't say that verbally. You just kind of, you might do, but just step away from, I can see this isn't helping either of us. It's only making me feel worse because I'm not being authentic in what I want or feel is right for me. And eventually you just can't not do that. You can't not, can you? It's like, there's nothing I can do to help this being except for lovingly seeing them as the self from a distance. You know, maybe in a few years they'll change and evolve, maybe not, but either way I'll be at peace in that.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Wonderful.
That's the other bit of the jigsaw.
Was that the final puzzle? The really,
I think so, yeah. Final piece, yeah. To be all evolving, and I can go and look and come back to this and yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you. Lovely. So you might have noticed that everyone's question is your question. And all of your questions were mine too, you know, so it's not like it stops ever. There's a deepening, a wonderful deepening that continues to occur. But the deepening from the original place, ever perfect and becoming even more perfect, if that's such a thing, a different way to kind of navigate your life. And most of all, coming to respect and forgive your own self, that you have a body and mind that will be moving around in the world, and you'll be experiencing what you like and don't like, as we were just talking about, and that sometimes experiencing what you don't want or don't like is going to seem to come with getting caught up in whether it's Christmas dinner or about the vaccine or anything at all, everything about awakening itself. We might get caught up in some thoughts for a while. And that we can just make a decision in any moment to just forgive ourselves completely for that, as if we have any control over that at all. Do we actually have any control over that at all? Or can we just lovingly accept that that is going to happen at some point and I don't need to beat myself up? And that is the difference between being stuck in it for seconds, hours, or years, or generations for some patterns that go on. So that seems to be a wonderful place to bring it to a close. We've gone through an awful lot in this time, but it's all recorded, so you can go back and go over it again if you want to. Figure out for you which the best ways to come out of the mind energy. And figure out which situations, which buttons get pushed, and which is the fastest way out of that. So if you're really down in a low energy field, trying to self-inquire in that moment may not work, but do some statements first, and then you might find you get to that. Just try to, if you can, just do this one thing for me, if you can. And I know you are trying. I'm not saying that you're not, any of you, but try to see yourselves and love yourselves as much as I do, please. Try to forgive yourself as I would, or try to like yourself no matter what is going on for you. You can't measure your lovability, your worthiness, your likability, if that's a word, from what's going on in your experience. It's just never going to work like that, is it? And you can draw a line right now and say, I'm done being unkind to myself, and I'm done using anything as any evidence that I'm anything other than lovable and wonderful and all of that. So thank you so much for your time and your wonderful participation in this intensive. I really, really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. It's been kind of action-packed, and it's gone really, really quick, but I have immensely enjoyed it, and we will do more of these. And it's only emphasizing what we're already doing in the graduate program anyway. So don't feel that you have to kind of analyze all of this and, you know, get the good bits out of it. It's already gone in. You know, if we just walk away from this intensive, having a bit more fun, being a bit nicer to ourselves, then I will have done what I wanted to do in this time. So see if you can do that when we close the meeting. See if you can do that now and forevermore. And wherever you find yourself being unkind, you can instantly forgive that, can't you? It doesn't matter. Unkind to yourself or others in that way. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.